Good morning and welcome to the FTS bet slip for Thursday the 7th of February. And it's an FTS bet slip without any bets, unfortunately. All racing has been called off today and I couldn't find anything on the football. So it does give me 5 minutes, if people are willing to listen, just to cover a few points. Hopefully some will enjoy it, others will probably poo-poo it and want to email in, but I'm going to say it anyway. I posted something on Twitter yesterday, the both teams to score and over 2.5, basically saying that actually looking at percentages of home at home, away away, where the both teams to score stats were poorer, i.e. there weren't many games, so out of six, perhaps no games that had both teams to score, or only one game, compared to 100% of games, the previous six games of both teams to score, actually made more money. And this is a response. Firstly, the comment on the blog, which I mentioned last week about the over 2.5s not being good. And it was a perfectly polite comment. There was nothing wrong with it. The author has emailed me since, and I will get back to him. But after that Union Berlin game, I then had an email which was a bit more accusatory, basically saying, don't know how you picked that game, got to both teams to score, stats were rubbish, blah, blah, blah. Typical nonsense that I get. Engaged the guy, which I probably shouldn't have done, ended up backwards and forwards in emails, and eventually he sent me a link to a book on Amazon. I'm not going to mention the author, but I ended up buying the book and reading it. Well, I'm not going to say I read it because my eyes started bleeding. Honestly, a complete and utter nonsense for me. And indeed, this book said about certain both teams to score stats and this, that and the other. And it sort of got me goat up overnight, and I ended up posting that tweet tomorrow, and obviously yesterday rather, and then it's obviously you get the feedback from it and this, that and the other. I do my own thing. What other people do and how they pick their games genuinely doesn't bother me. What I do try and do via this podcast now and via the website and Ultimate Membership is help people and provide people with tools in a very difficult game to make money, because it is a difficult game. Markets are reasonably efficient in most cases, and unfortunately it's a game where people are uneducated. Well, I don't like to put anybody down, but don't know enough about the game or what they're trying to do, and they just want to have a bet. So that sort of led me to where I was yesterday with that tweet, and overnight again I've sort of been awake and thinking about it. I'm not the greatest sleeper. And everything, you know, the bottom line is people try and systemize stuff, and I've been guilty of showing longer term methods that of more systems, but you've got to ride them out. When you're looking to have bets, it is about that bet on that day against that team in those circumstances, and most importantly at that price. And there's a real wave at the minute of they've got to have scored four in the last five games, and there's a massive wave on it on Twitter. Everything I read now has got this stuff in it. And if people just on Football Data Direct, for example, if you've got any sort of database, just filter the stats, look at games for those sort of stats, and look at the bottom end of the stat and look at the top end, and the bottom end will win nearly all the time, and that will be down to price. That's what it will be down to. All models have flaws. Every model that you use, you know, I use Poisson, I use XG, I use my own odds that I calculate, I use the FDD sheets. I've got a whole plethora of tools that I use, most of which are available to people, and it's how you interpret those tools and apply them to that game on that day at that price, and not just having this non-random systemic approach. And I think people just want, again, that holy grail of, if I click that, I'll just go games where everybody's 100% both teams to score, and then the next game must be both teams to score. It's not going to work. You know, when you take XG, for example, Spurs have Harry Kane, Eric Lamella, quite often found both up front. If Tottenham have got a shot on the right-hand side of the box, who do you want taking that, Harry Kane or Eric Lamella? XG, which calculates the likelihood of a goal in effect and gives it a value from that point, will give it the same value. Most models will pay for the likelihood of shooting from that point is worth XYZ, and they should score XYZ percent of the time. But Harry Kane taking that shot to Eric Lamella taking that shot are completely different. I would want Harry Kane in my portfolio way ahead of Eric Lamella. There's lots of players I'd want ahead of Eric Lamella, but XG in effect would calculate those figures the same, most models. I've not seen an XG model yet that takes into it the player taking the shot. I'm sure there may be one out there. I use it as a guide. For example, Arsenal at the start of the season, when they were on their 20% run, a 20 game run rather, at the time Lacazette and Aubameyang were far outperforming the metrics for converting chances. They were far, far outperforming. It was off the charts outperforming it. Only one thing could happen. It would start to recede back to the mean. And sure enough, that is what happened. The number of chances that Lacazette and Aubameyang were scoring has come down now to what it was at the start of the season. As a result, Arsenal have found it a bit harder going. Alisson in goal for Liverpool, his XG defending figures in effect for stopping goals was far outperforming the normal at the start of the season. It can only come one way. It will start to recede to the mean. Of course, you don't know when that's going to happen, and there'll be examples. For example, I'll go back with Leicester. Famously, I said they won't win the league repeatedly. They did keep performing. Other teams didn't work them out. But when you come to things like that, that's what I look at. I knew, for example, that Arsenal were far outperforming that. So there's a time when I want to start being against Arsenal because I don't think it's going to keep up. And the same with Liverpool. Liverpool's wobble and Alisson's goalkeeping figures coincide. Now, Liverpool may pick it up again. I'm not saying that they won't. And I'm not just saying it because I'm anti-Liverpool. I think it is wide open. It could go either way, and other teams are going to have a say. So the point I'm trying to make is this method of systemising and looking for systems and things, every model that we use has flaws. And the only way I do things myself is profiling the game on that day, in those circumstances, at that price. And I mean, when I go back to the both teams to score over 22.5, over 2.5 is a very difficult market to crack. I'll give you a simple system for over 2.5 at the moment. Man City in the last two seasons at home, if you'd laid under 2.5 goals, you'd be about 20 points up. If you'd laid Liverpool in the same situation under 2.5, you wouldn't be. There's still a perception in the market, again with Liverpool being overpriced, the front three, Salah, Mane, etc., that they score boatloads of goals. In effect, you're almost getting the same odds for a Man City team that are scoring much more goals last season, 12 more goals already this season. So at the moment, it pays to be on side with Man City, laying under 2.5 goals. You're nearly 20 points up across two seasons. Blind, just doing that without anything else, because the market hasn't yet adjusted. Now it will. It tends to be more of a market overreaction to Liverpool. I've never really understood why, than any other team in England, certainly. But the Man City, it will change in time. Aguero will move on. That may change it. Guardiola may move on. That may change it. The prices will adjust. That may change it. But at the moment, it's not a system. It's a trend. It's a trend that you can ride. Now, in over 30% of those games, the opposition haven't scored. So trying to find a game where both teams to score, and thinking, all right, yeah, I need. There's more likelihood if both teams score. Well, when you're involving teams like Man City, who's Poisson figures nearly every week, a 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, whatever, it's quite an easy game to profile. Whether you want to have that bet or not is down to you, whether it fits your profile, whether you trust it. And of course, there's been anomalies. Huddersfield drawing 0-0 there last season. But just blind, laying Man City under 2.5 goals has won nearly 20 points in 31 games. So the market hasn't adjusted yet. It will. But it's a lot easier than trawling through going, oh, I want to find a team 60% both teams to score. They must have had this, that and the other. The price must be this. And that's the point I'm making. It's I profile games on that day against those opponents. So just to finish on that point, obviously I've had two successful back-to-lay trades with later-back trades with Tottenham, laying them pre-kickoff, backing them in-game. I'm a Tottenham fan. I want Tottenham to be successful. I'm not doing it to put a voodoo on Tottenham. It's the profile of the game on that day at that price. I'm not saying they're not going to win. What I'm saying is that they will trade higher. They're missing personnel. Historically, against that level of opposition and teams that set up and play that way, if Tottenham don't score quickly, then they struggle to break a team down. If they've with that missing personnel, I didn't see them scoring quickly. Tottenham haven't scored quickly, hardly at all this season. Tottenham have fallen behind a lot this season. Now they have come back and won games, and it's fantastic and brilliant, and I'm cheering with everybody else. I want them to win, and full credit for them to doing that. They've been fortunate. Fulham, the goal they got late, really fortunate. Horrendous defending. Yes, they kept going, so you get your rewards, but they were really fortunate there. Ranieri must have been headbutting a wall when he went in the changing room. Newcastle at the weekend, the keeper's led it straight through his body. So it is, yes, United in the old days, if you keep going, you get that fortune. And full credit to Tottenham for keep going. But it was profiling the game that I couldn't see a situation where I could get out for no loss or I couldn't get out for profit. I was never stating Tottenham wouldn't win the game. I was saying, I think this is a too low a price for what I want to do, and that is to be able to trade it. So, to get back to all that for you guys, it's a matter of try and have a bit more thought in your own betting and not get sucked in by this, or let's just get a stat sheet or whatever. I mean, it's everywhere now, and 100%, 4 out of 5 games, that's the one for me. Look a bit more deeply into it, and most importantly is price. And as I say, with City, for example, the price hasn't caught up. I think there's only been about 3 losing bets or 4 losing bets in 31 games, and you'd be nearly 20 points up. So that's a simple sort of area to look in. And these opportunities present themselves all the time. When people say there's markets efficient, and again, you'll see me on Twitter saying the market's never wrong, they present themselves all the time. What you've got to have is the ability to look at them, find them, and when these trends stop, jump off. And that's the skill. I've done this for 13 years now. It's a skill that you learn over time. So a little bit of a rant there. Hopefully people learn from it. I then will move into the racing. Arian Hart never got going yesterday, didn't trade. And this is an interesting one. If you go on Betfair's time form page, to the official figures, it did trade 20%. I think the BSP is something like 5.86, and it traded just under 20% of that price. I didn't get matched, and it didn't get anywhere near it. I didn't get anywhere near 5.86, and I certainly didn't get matched in running. So it is a loser. But again, and I don't do this to have a go at people. There's a wealth of software out there now that is showing dobbing and this, that, and the other. To the official figures, if you wanted to look at 20%, this sort of software would show it. And again, it's flawed. Firstly, it's difficult to bet to trade at BSP because obviously you don't know what price you're matched at until the race is off. So if you're in a 5 furlong sprint and you've got to wait, that second for bet. BSP to formulate and then get your price worked out that you want to trade at and do it whilst there's software. While all that's going on, that price may have been hit and gone again before you've had chance to act. So it's very difficult to act at BSP, which is the only guideline these software can use, because they have to get a price from somewhere, so they get it off time form because they keep the in-running prices and there. And secondly, if just £1 is matched at a price in running, then that shows us in time form as hitting that price. So it would be the lowest in running price. So for example, if we backed a horse at 5.0 and we wanted to trade at 50%, so we wanted to trade it at 2.5, and just £2 was matched at 2.5, we'd go on time form and see, oh, BSP of 5, lowest in running price, 2.5. So it would show as a 50% trade. In reality, though, that could just be one mistake, somebody clicking something on a bot there. £2 gets matched up, that's the figure that time forms show. The weight of money may have been matched at 2.8, 2.9. That's where most of the money might be. So it didn't get anywhere near 50%. It was more like within 30, 40%. So it's just something to be aware of when you're using this, when you're doing these bots and things and researching stuff. Firstly, just because something happened before doesn't mean it's going to happen again. And all is not always what it seems, particularly with those sort of things where they're taking data from somewhere else that may be, well, almost certainly is flawed. Because if you open any graph at the end of a horse race and don't look at the winner but look at horses back in the field, you'll see little small sums matched on things, and that will be what gets shown up in the time form figures. So it's something just to be aware of. I'm not saying that don't use this software, I'm not saying it's not a guide, I'm not having a go at the people who make it, I'm just saying it's something as a punter that you need to be aware of in the game, because you're buying this stuff and looking at it or reading about it, and that's what you want. So, you know, overall with me, my new sort of philosophy for you guys is less is more. Ultimately though, only have a bet if you're convinced that it is right for you, not because somebody you made, you know, posts it on Twitter or whatever and you think they know more than you. A lot of these people don't. A lot of these people don't know any more than you, and they do it for all different reasons, affiliate marketing, whatever it may be, bookies, affiliates, tons of them. So I'm not doing it to have a go at anybody. I'm just trying to help the people who listen to this, who visit FTS, become better gamblers. So hopefully today's sort of mini 15-20 minute rant helps you. Have a good day, and I'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully the racing gets sorted out. At the moment, my only concern is for the horses and the people involved in racing. Seeing lots of stuff about Cheltenham and people moaning about that. My only concern is let's hope these horses are okay. Let's hope the people in and around racing are okay. And hopefully we can get back to some action when it all resolves itself. But have a great Thursday, and I'll be back tomorrow.